on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
In modern life, we just don't spend enough time in nature, which is where our bodies can absorb these vital energies.
And that's what we try to do. We're not using cloud structures and things like that to generate unique sets of harmonics and frequencies. We can vary harmonics and frequencies in each and every one of our lightning discharges that we're generating. You know, they have their series of biohacking ideas that they'd like to do, and they'll stack that. But that one I was almost a little nervous with, just because of the
health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
All right, so if you've been following me on social media much, you may have occasionally seen me standing or sitting or bouncing up and down on a trampoline or doing any other weird fringe things that biohackers like myself do in front of this rocket ship shaped device in my basement. It's called a biocharger, and it makes all these crazy lights and sounds and whistles and hums. And myself, my kids, even my wife, who, and that's impressive because it's very difficult to get my wife to use anything, have been using this thing every day for about the past month and a half. And I have yet to wrap my head around all the nooks and crannies of exactly how it works, but the thing freaking does something. Like, if my wife gets a headache, she goes and stands in front of it and pushes the little headache recipe that it has on it. I think it's called Clear Head, and her headache just goes away. I put it in the morning. I play that Clear Head one in the morning. I use another one called called Nitro before my workouts, and it's absolutely mind-blowing as far as what it's doing. But again, like, there are so many things going on with this device that that I wanted to get the folks who actually designed it on the show to talk about it, because I find it intriguing. I mean, it combines infrared light therapy and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy and sound therapy, and I think it has some kind of a noble gas or an ozone type of therapy. It uses these old school Rife therapies, if you've heard of that, which are a form of pulsing frequency. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And and like I said, I think that the people who make this thing and who came up with this crazy idea would do a much better job explaining it than I can. And I'm also, honestly, I'm a little skeptical about some of it, and I have some questions to ask about the science behind it. And also, I want to know a little bit more about how it can best be used. And again, if I'm using something every day and it's definitely helping with a wide variety of functions, I want to make sure my audience knows about it too. So I decided to invite the masterminds behind this thing, again, called the Biocharger, on my show. So I've got Jim Law and Jim Gerard with me today. Now, these guys are involved with this company called Advanced Biotechnologies. And Jim Law is the managing member of Advanced Biotechnologies. He co-founded it back in 2013. And prior to that, he held executive positions primarily in the technology world at companies like Apple and Next. And then Jim Gerard, he has a huge background, more than 30 years in energy research using a lot of these frequencies. So if you've heard of, for example, Nikola Tesla, and who hasn't? At least you've heard of the car. Jim has done a ton of experimentation with Tesla coils and with what are called wave oscillation technologies. And I know that's a lot of what is kind of woven into this biocharger as well. So I've got both of these guys on the show today. And just so we can differentiate between who's who, as is always the annoying case when we're having an online Skype-based conversation. Jim Law, go ahead and say hello and introduce yourself, man.
Thanks, Ben. Pleasure to be here and able to address your audience today.
Awesome. So that's Jim Law. Jim Gerard, say hello, man.
Hi. Awesome to have us on here. Appreciate the opportunity.
Did you guys do a biocharger session this morning?
Yes, I did.
I'm down for two so far today.
I know. I've actually been hitting it during the quarantine because, and I have to be careful about this because I know that you guys have plugged in some specific viral frequencies into that. And I have to be very careful with my language nowadays. It seems I can't really, talk about, cures and remedies and all that jazz. But I've actually been running the viral protocols that you guys uploaded to that when this whole quarantine first started. I've been running those every single afternoon. I've been doing something like Clear Head or one of the other kind of wakefulness or the chakra balancing recipes in the morning. And then typically at night, I slip into my little, I call it the Zen Den at night. And I typically do something a little bit more relaxing or meditative at night. Like you guys have your pineal gland one, and then another really relaxing one, a solfeggio one for alpha waves. And I'll go in there and do my devotional reading or scriptural reading at night or do a little bit of meditation with it. So I'm literally hitting it like three times a day. And this morning I did the solfeggio frequency one, the one that's more musical based, which I just wanted to mess around with. That was one I hadn't run much and felt really good after that. So all sorts of uses for this thing. I have found that when I use the 5-hour energy recipe, or I use one of the more pick me up recipes, if I do it too close to bedtime, I'm screwed. That thing just jacks you up for a few hours. But aside from that, I've been using this thing quite frequently. So I'm glad to hear that we're all biocharged for today's interview.
You got it.
All right, cool. Well, let's jump in. So this biocharger, it's got a lot going on, and I don't know who's best equipped to answer this question, but I guess my first question is, what is this device? How do you explain it to people?
Jim Gerard can go deep on pretty much any of these subjects, and if it's okay with you, I'll start out, kind of give a 60,000-foot level, and then we can drill down as you'd like. First off, the biocharger is not a medical device. We make no claims. It doesn't cure anything, and we don't advertise it as such. It's a subtle energy revitalization platform, and we'll explain more about subtle energies in a couple minutes. But the biocharger is affectionately referred to as kind of the ultimate human recharging station because it simulates and amplifies four distinct energy types that exist in nature and, frankly, are vital to our health and wellness. These energies are essential for proper cellular function, and that's what it's all about. I know, Ben, that you've been a follower of Dr. Jerry Tennant and read Healing is Voltage.
Oh, yeah. And Healing is Voltage is a great book, by the way. I just got to jump in and say that, but explain what that has to do with the biocharger.
Sure. So what Tennant first did was proved that, healthy cells have three common characteristics. One is uptake of nutrients. Two is dealing with toxicity. And the third is voltage. And he goes on to explain that, all chronic disease has a common characteristic of inadequate cellular voltage. And in fact, chronic disease can only occur when you lose the ability to make new cells that work properly. So at the cellular level, and healthy cells, healthy body, you have to have energy, and you have to have the right amount of energy for the cells to function properly. And, our bodies are making cells, new cells, at a rate of 2 to 3 million per second. Our bodies are also self-healing, self-regulating, and self-regenerating, but they're all dependent on making healthy new cells. So we look back and we say, okay, 45% of Americans have at least one form of chronic disease. Why the energy shortage? Why is there a shortage in cellular energy? And we think it boils down to a couple primary factors. One is that we just don't spend, as in modern life, we just don't spend enough time in nature, which is where our bodies can absorb these vital energies. I mean, think about how much energy you had when you went to the beach or spent a day in nature.
Right. Or even just walk outside barefoot. I mean, which I don't know if Jerry talks about that much in his book, but just to clarify with folks, when you're talking about Jerry's research and that book, Healing is Voltage, it's basically typically a negative millivolt potential that is required for proper cellular function. And that's related to the entire process, for example, for turning fatty acids into glucose, you know, the Krebs cycle that is converting ATP to ADP, that is necessary on a proper electrical status to keep the cell functioning. And if the voltage drops, then you get into an electron donor status that causes a change in polarity. And when the voltage drops really low, you know, that's where Jerry talks about disease setting in and some of the cell membrane function actually being affected pretty significantly, which is actually, you know, something I've recently been talking about. And Robert Becker gets into this book in his book, the body, or this concept in his book, The Body Electric, as well. This whole idea that these electrical feedback loops are very important. But these voltage gated calcium channels where you get this steep influx of calcium causes this huge positive charge inside the cell. And that can ultimately lead to a lot of cellular dysfunction. And, you know, when you go outside barefoot, for example, you're getting exposed to negative ions that can help to reverse some of that charge deficit. In contrast, when you get exposed to, let's say, a real hefty, we know, for example, now that 4G and 5G signals activate that voltage gated calcium channel significantly and cause a sharp influx of calcium into the cell. And this is something we could probably talk about for hours, but ultimately this idea that the human body and the cells in general are a battery is something that is pretty profound when you think about whether you can charge that battery or drain that battery accordingly based on your activities.
Absolutely. It's similar to a cell phone. I mean, the phones work great until you get down around 5% and there's not a lot of life left in them. And if you don't charge it, and our bodies are essentially the same way. You know, one of the other things, so lack of access to the natural energy sources with thicker contributors, but also when you're inside, you know, we live in a shielded box. We're not even, not only are we blocking those healthy natural energy sources, we can talk about the specifics on those, but we're also being bombarded by man-made EMF, which isn't necessarily good while we're on the inside. So we put it this way, when we're outside, you're inside nature. The biocharger brings you inside nature again by being able to sit next to it, spend 10 to 15 minutes. You don't have to touch anything, exert yourself. You can relax. You can do it with a loved one or you know, two to three people simultaneously. And the common changes that people notice are improved sleep, more energy, better clarity, fast recovery, and essentially, whether you're young and healthy or older and maybe not so healthy, there's something in it for everyone, because in general, by being able to help restore that energy at the cellular level, your body can function and reproduce, and that's the only way it knows how to heal.
Yeah, and I'll link to a really helpful article on PubMed about energy medicine and about how some of these voltage channels work in a cell, and this concept of restoring a positive or not really positive, really it's more of a negative millivolt potential inside the cell. But specifically, what are the technologies that are used in the biocharger to allow that to happen? Because from what I understand, it's not just like pulsed electromagnetic field frequency or just, say, negative ion generation or something like that. I'm curious if you guys can, and we have plenty of time to rabbit hole on this, explain the technology behind the different things that are woven into this thing.
So at a high level, PEMF, and you're very familiar with PEMF and the mats, there's different devices that have apparatus or tables and chairs.
Pulsed electromagnetic fields, for people who aren't familiar with that.
What's different about the biocharger in the way that we're creating and emanating that energy is that we're able to build a high enough concentration of PEMF so that by sitting next to the biocharger, your body's being bathed in it. And we can also control the range of frequencies that the PEMF is being emitted.
I'm gonna stop you as you go through each of these, but PEMF, you know, that's a mild electrical magnetic current. And usually in my own experience with PEMF, because I actually sleep on a PEMF mat and then have this table called a pulse centers table that I'll get a massage on or apply certain coils that are attached to that unit to different areas of the body to cause that magnetic field to have the effect that these PEMF frequencies can have on, for example, pain, inflammation, blood flow, even those voltage-gated calcium channels, for example. In my experience, I've always had to be touching the device, laying on the device or having it touching my body. Now, with the biocharger and the PEMF that it produces, how is it that those are having an effect on me without me actually touching it? Are they do they actually travel through the air, these PEMF frequencies?
Yeah, so it follows like your normal inverse square loss. So if you have a strong magnetic field and like you're saying, the pulse system, that's one of the high energy instant pulses. You know, if you get away from that, you know, 5, 6, 7 inches away, you'll probably still pick up some of that field. So the field will drop off on the, you know, the distance of the square. But the, you know, the way in which the PEMF interacts is definitely interesting. And each four of those different energy types has a different effect on the body. So with the PEMF, for instance, you know, it's not working like your traditional electric field. You know, the electric field is a pretty straightforward mechanism that works off of, you know, gating the cell membrane, as you'd mentioned earlier. So you make that inner and outer cellular, moving the ions in and out and creating that charge that way. Whereas with the magnetic field, you're not really per se inducing the voltage in anything, but what you're doing is you're affecting the charged particles as in ion form. So you have all these ions, different ions, sodium ions, that are surrounding the outer and inner cell membrane. And what it does is it helps to arrange those in such a way that it will make the concentration of those ions, if it's sufficient enough, to allow it to gate naturally. Whereas with the electric field, you can make that gate whether you have any of those ions or not there. So the magnetic field works a completely different way than the electric field, and each one of these have a profound different effect on how these ions are being moved back and forth, whether it's intercellular, outer cellular, or in between. The electric field and the magnetic field both have its own unique functions.
Okay, so there are two different fields that are being produced by the biocharger, both an electrical field and then also a magnetic current.
Yes.
Okay. And the magnetic current, that is the pulsed electromagnetic field current?
Exactly. That's more what you would see with the mats or anything like that. It's producing, whether it's a sudden impulse where it's a short duration of a very strong magnetic field, or some of the mats where it's a lower energy, but it's just a continuous wave of a magnetic field.
So if those magnetic fields are being broadcast through the air, how far do they actually travel? You mentioned that the power of the field will decrease as a function of the distance from the device, but we've established you don't need to be touching it. How far away from this thing do you actually need to be to get that effect?
Well, ideally, right around, you know, if you're within a couple of feet, the magnetic field is the one that breaks off the quickest. So okay. The magnetic field, we're measuring, you know, we can measure 3,000 milligauss, 6 to 8 inches away from the biocharger.
Okay.
But the electric field's a much further one. So if you've ever had the fluorescent bulb, for instance, if you light the fluorescent bulb, you're going to light that a much further distance away. That's going to be maybe 6 or 7 feet away, where it's you're producing enough of an electric field to cause the gases inside the fluorescent tube to ignite to fluorescent. And then you also have that visible light, which goes much further. Visible light's going to go as far as you're going to be able to see it. And then the radio frequencies and the harmonics are the same way. That's also breaking down as the distance squared. But if you have an oscilloscope or a spectrum analyzer, you can measure that 10, 20, 30 feet away very easily.
So one of the actual therapies that is being produced by the device is the pulsed electromagnetic field therapy. And that's something that is going to impact, for example, everything from I know it impacts, for example, red blood cell flow, inflammation, oxygenation. And you know, I've been using PEMF for a very long time. I have multiple podcasts on it. And so I think that my listeners might be familiar with that. But then there, in addition to PEMF, what are the other, currents or features that are built into this?
Yeah, so part of that magnetic field is, you know, out of phase with it, we have an electric field also. So the electric field is completely different. That's the one where, you know, we're not gating, we're not arranging the ions with the magnetic field, but the electric field responds completely different on the cell membrane. So if you look at the cell membrane, it acts like an insulator or dielectric, much like a capacitor. And when you apply voltage to it, you can stress that excitable membrane. And when you do that, you start to create tiny holes in it, which become ion channels. So with the electric field, you begin to create different types of holes that are in within the cell membrane. And these different ion hole sizes create different channels for proteins, amino acids. There's all sorts of different things that could be carried in on that electric charge with it. But it all begins with creating that tiny hole in order to create everything to happen. So, you know, I look at it, the biocharger is not so much as like a true battery charger like your cell phone. So if you look at your cell phone and you plug it in, it charges up a battery. Mm-hmm. How I look at how the battery, how it actually works is it's not so much that, but it's, so if you could imagine having power coming to your, or not having power to your outlet and you're plugging in your phone to charge, nothing's going to happen. Even though you have power on the other side of the breaker box.
Right.
And you're plugged in to do it, nothing's happened until you flip the switch on. And what the electric field does is actually flip the switch on to allow the sodium potassium pump to kick. It allows all your normal cellular functions to happen with it. So it's that gating of the electric field through the cell membrane that's an important feature. Whereas the magnetic field, it's all about arranging the, you know, the ions on the outside and on the inside, which is a completely different effect. And then we also have the frequencies and harmonics. So if you think about it, everything vibrates. First, on an atomic levels, we have atoms vibrating at the speed of light.
Now the frequencies and harmonics, I'm going to interrupt you again. We're getting into a different territory now than the electrical fields or the pulse electro pulse electromagnetic fields, which are two of the features that are built into the biocharger. I got a comment, by the way. You mentioned its potential effect on the sodium potassium pump, and I got to throw this in there because I know some of my listeners may question that, because I've commented before that I think that Gilbert Ling pretty much disproved the concept of a sodium potassium pump, and I suspect that the electrical field is more acting on the actual cytosolic components in terms of the actual the gel-like form of water within the cell in the intracellular compartment. I think that's what's being affected by the electrical field, not necessarily the sodium potassium pump. And I think the voltage gated calcium channel is likely being influenced as well by the magnetic fields and the electrical fields. But I don't necessarily, I'm not convinced that the sodium potassium pump is that important, but nonetheless, the exposure to these electrical fields is of course very important for maintaining that negative charge within the cell, as you've alluded to. And so we have the pulse electromagnetic field, we have the electrical field, and then you were starting to talk about these frequencies and harmonics that it produces as well.
Yeah, so frequencies and harmonics are responding completely differently. So when you look at frequencies and harmonics, as I stated earlier, everything is vibrating. First, you have atoms that are vibrating at the speed of light. So in physics class, when you're studying the light frequency spectrum as it relates to color, they'll excite different gases to fluorescent and they release photons of light. So atoms are vibrating at the speed of light. Now when you take atoms and you make molecules, they vibrate slightly slower. So they'll vibrate at the molecular spectrum. So the molecular spectrum is more lower frequencies, because you have these different energy states between atoms that are going in to create a different vibration. And that goes from about a half a gigahertz up to nearly visible light. And then you have your atomic nuclei vibration. And that's sort of what the MRI is based off of. So with an MRI, they put you in the magnetic field and they bounce radio waves. And how they absorb and emit frequencies, you can determine specific characteristics of almost anything based off of its electrical signature. So what we're doing is we produce a wide range of these frequencies and harmonics, and the idea is to resonate them. And the idea is that I always like to use the analogy of two tuning forks of the same pitch. So if you hit one, through sympathetic vibration, the other one starts to vibrate. Similarly, on a cellular level or an atomic level or a molecular level, if you hit that right radio frequency, you can begin to transfer energy. And that's the third source. So you can design recipes or programs to target for specific outcomes based off of that idea.
Based on the actual Hertz frequencies.
Based off of the Hertz frequencies. And have been laid out from whether it's Wright's original works to physicists laying out the whole spectrum to scientists, universities, colleges that are investigating the effects of radio frequencies. And a lot of this is getting very well documented, and those are sources for a lot of our recipes.
Okay. I want to back up and clarify just a few things here. First of all, lightning. When lightning strikes the ground, I know that it charges the earth with these negative ions, and then the energy from those discharges, if you were to go outside barefoot, for example, are something that's going to help with that cell voltage. However, I believe from what I understand that some of these frequencies, some of these harmonics are actually also something that are related to the striking of lightning, which is one of the primary ways in which the earth kind of maintains its electrical charge. Now, when I'm using the biocharger and I'm looking at it, especially this top little kind of stick coming out the top, it looks like I'm seeing like thousands and thousands of lightning bulbs or lightning bolts, you know, literally at like every second. So I'm curious, what is this very similar to bringing lightning into your home? And if so, how exactly does that work?
Yes, it's exactly what it is. And that's where the basis of all this is, you know, I believe in the electric universe. So if you think about it, we have 100 lightning strikes every second. Each lightning strike produces a unique set of harmonics and frequencies that span all the way up to the gigahertz range, AM, FM, shortwave, longwave, UHF, VHF, millimeter, all the way up to visible light when you look at it, when it's exciting the air and stuff, and you get the photons of light from it. So lightning is a very important part of it. And if you think about it, every other planet's doing the same thing. You know, so those are our sources of these wide range of natural EMFs that we're really not getting when we're inside shielded in a building that's got rebar in the walls, or you got a metal roof on it. You're blocking a lot of that natural energy, as well as we get it from the sun. And, you know, the sun's the largest source of EMF in our solar system. And that's still just a small part of what we get outside of our solar system. So if you think about it, everything that's spinning in the universe is generating these plasma discharges that generate unique sets of harmonics and frequencies. And when you look at it on the spectrum analyzer, it looks like it's a continuous thing, but it's actually, like you say, it's a series of lightning discharges that are occurring everywhere. And that's what we try to do with the biochargers. You know, we're not using cloud structures and things like that to generate unique sets of harmonics and frequencies, but we figured out using electronics that we can vary harmonics and frequencies in each and every one of our lightning discharges that we're generating.
Okay. And are you using, because I know that there are different tubes. If you look at this biocharger, and folks can go to the show notes for this episode, if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/biocharge, as in just biocharge, just what it sounds like. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/biocharge, I'm going to have a picture of what this thing looks like. But there are multiple tubes inside it that, from what I understand, are full of gases. Are you charging these gases to create that lightning bolt kind of effect, or are those there for a different reason?
Yeah, so the light's actually the fourth part of it. So what we're using is the energy from the coil to excite the gases into tubes to release photons of light. So if you ever went outside and wondered, you know, what causes that blue in the sky? So the blue in the sky is a result of all these different gases in the atmosphere that get excited by solar radiation. And it excites the gases and releases photons of light. So what we've done is we put individual gases in each tube, and you'll see what spectrums of frequencies that they're producing. And like I mentioned earlier in physics class, when we're studying it, that's what they do. They put different elements in each one of the tubes, and you'd see specific spectrum lines associated with each type of gas produced. And for instance, the neon produces that far infrared, and that's why it's that orange, and that's why you see devices like Juve that utilize that. It's because of the type of gas that they're exciting to fluorescent actually releases those spectrums of frequencies. So what we're trying to do, instead of like what Juve is, where you're just focusing in on one narrow spectrum of the visible light spectrum, is we wanted to add different spectrums of frequencies. So by adding gases to it, we've actually added, I believe, about 152 different wavelengths in the visible light spectrum with all the different gas tubes that we're doing, instead of just in a narrow band where you're only producing a handful.
So these tubes are full of things like argon, krypton, neon, helium, mercury, etc. Those are actually vibrating and producing photons of light. And we know, you know, that that's just basic chemistry. We know that biophotons can be produced, and that's the visible light that we might see. But when it comes to the actual nanometer wavelength, you know, when you look at something like a Juve light or a lot of these red light therapy devices folks are using, typically it's like 600 to 900 nanometers of wavelength or so. What exactly are we getting from something like a biocharger?
Well, we go much higher into the visible light spectrum there than just the far infrared. That's slightly lower than that. But like those spectrums of frequencies, it goes, I can't say offhand the nanometers, but the frequency spectrum would be between 10 to the 12th hertz and 10 to the 16th hertz are the spectrum of frequencies in the visible light spectrum. And the type of tubes that we're generating are within that spectrum.
Okay, got it. Now, does this mean that when I'm using it, I need to actually be looking at the device to get the beneficial effects of that light? Or what exactly is the best way to be absorbing that light? And what's the proposed biological effect that light is having?
Well, I think light is a big part. Is it's, you know, I look at it as almost the, you know, our bodies are photosynthesis designed also, not just plants grow off of it, but our bodies do. And if you think about it in the morning, how important light is, you know, light isn't just about waking up our mind, but there are so many different functions that are awakened when that happens. And if you think about how much more energy we have during the summer months where we have more light, we look at it from that perspective of that full spectrum and how it works. I mean, there's many different mechanisms that have been defined, and you know, to spend a couple hours in a scholarly Google, you'll find hundreds of different articles that define all sorts of different benefits of these different types of light. You know, they use it in the form of seasonal affective disorder to bone healing, to stress, to recovery, to, you know, the infrared stuff helps to flush the, you know, detoxify, that sort of thing. So there are many different functions that are associated with light. So Max Planck Institute was investigating the effects of these natural EMFs. So what they ended up doing is shielding completely a group of people, not shielding completely a group of people for short periods of time over a long period of time. So they didn't want to create long-term effects, but they were studying the short-term effects of natural EMF and the blocking of it. And they found so many different things, whether the sleep, anxiety, you know, hormone secretion, so many different aspects were affected by that. And what they also found within that study, that when you reintroduce the natural ones, like the circadian rhythm frequencies, many of these, or if not all those things, were completely restored in a very short period of time. So there is an aspect of that, you know, our bodies are really designed to be in this white noise, wide spectrum of frequencies and harmonics. And, you know, a big question always is, you know, really, what is the difference between these natural EMFs and these man-made EMFs? Because when you look at it, you know, they're both producing a type of frequency and things. But, you know, what are those really the differences, and why is it that one may be helpful and one may not be helpful? And I think that that's partly what, you know, science is starting to really investigate. And I really think that the big difference is, and why the biocharger is different than man-made, is the fact that, you know, in nature, as you alluded to, that, you know, we're constantly having plasma discharges everywhere in the universe. And each one is its own unique event. It's creating its own unique sets of harmonics and frequencies. And they're for a short period of time. Their pulse is off and on. And when you see, and as you mentioned earlier with the biocharger, you have these plasma discharges that occur, but they're a bunch of single events that are happening. And it's that pulsing off and on that makes it unique or different. Whereas like with the Wi-Fi and things like that, you're dealing with a continuous wave where you have to have that continuous wave of information going. You can't chop it off and on, or you lose the signal and the power, like our 60 hertz power line. You can't turn that off and on all the time. And the advantage of why you want to have it off is to allow the cell to go back to its own natural resting potential and allow it to be its own resting potential.
Which would occur if that signal were pulsing, for example.
Exactly. Whereas with the continuous wave, or what you would see with Wi-Fi and things like that, it doesn't allow the body or the cell to actually go back to its natural resting position. And that's why it's so powerful. And that's why the biocharger is powerful. And that's why you see some of these PEMF, these systems that are out there that are working, it's because of that.
So basically, in a nutshell, we've got the PEMF. We have the actual voltage, which is what you'd get very similar to if you were outside barefoot, or you were exposed to, say, like a lightning storm or something like that. And then you have these frequencies or harmonics, which are sounds. I mean, you literally hear them when you're using the biocharger. And that's more also related to the effect of the discharges that are brought in by the Tesla coil that's built into this thing. And then finally, you have the so-called photobiomodulation, the production of light specifically by charging the gas particles that are in these tubes that are inside the biocharger. Those are the four different energies that are being used in this thing, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. All right, got it. So I have a few follow-up questions, obviously. First of all, as I briefly mentioned, but I wasn't quite clear on this, with light therapy, in many cases, you know, folks say you need to be looking at it, or sometimes you need to even have your clothing removed so that you actually get something like infrared or red light exposed to the skin without the clothing blocking that effect. Any best practices as far as getting the most out of the photobiomodulation, the actual biophotons of light being produced by this thing?
I mean, with the light part, I you know, from our experience, we've always kept the clothes on just because that's it gets a little bit a different experience, I think, if you're sitting around naked, especially if you have a group of people doing it. But from our experience with the way we've had it set up, it's worked very well for us. I think that there are parts that, even with your eyes closed, there's a part of the light is going in you anyway. If you ever shut your eyes, you can see some of the different shades that are going on there. And I know that as light is pulsed, it responds different than continuous light. And that's why if you see many of these devices that they're using, they're not using continuous light, but many of them vary the way in which they pulse it. And that's partly because of the way the wave hits the body when you're turning it off and on like that. There's different things that have different effects as a result of that. And that's been pretty well documented.
Well, that's my understanding as well. I mean, that's based on a lot of the research of the Russian biophysicist Alexander Gurwitch, I think his name was, who showed that there's a certain amount of cellular mitochondrial stimulation in response to some of these light frequencies, and they're not dependent upon retinal exposure. We're talking about either photoreceptors on the skin that are exposed to light, or even the UV radiation that you get mild exposure to from these light frequencies. So I've never been convinced that you got to have your eyes open. I think probably if you had your skin exposed, you get a bigger effect compared to not having some of those photoreceptors on the skin exposed. But you know, I personally, you know, don't necessarily stare at the biocharger the whole time I'm using it. Often I'm reading a book or stretching or, you know, doing something that doesn't involve me looking directly at the charger.
Yeah. And that's my experience too. Sometimes I'll leave my eyes open. Sometimes I shut, sometimes I sit and meditate. Sometimes I focus in on my breathing. Sometimes I focus in on an intention, because as we all know that, intention helps. You know, it's been proven that, the placebo effects work. So if you have a positive intention while you're doing it, things like that, all those little subtle things will help in the experience that you have with the biocharger.
Okay, got it. My next question is regarding the actual, and this is something I told my kids, I was going to interview the folks who designed this biocharger, and they wanted me to ask you this because they like to touch it when it's turned on being used, and you get this arcing of electricity from the device to your fingertips, almost like a lightning bolt into your fingers when you touch it. Is it safe to touch? Is it therapeutical to touch? What's the deal? What's happening when you actually put a finger on the device while it's on?
Well, what's happening is, technically speaking, you have a higher potential at the top of the coil, and your body's at a lower potential because you're standing on the ground. So it will naturally want to arc to the lower potential. So as you bring your hand closer to the arc rod or other points up near the toroid, you will see sometimes sparks that will jump out.
Okay.
They may startle you. Depending on the frequency it's running at, you might notice a little mark or something like that on your hands more at the higher end, but definitely not necessarily necessary to do it. You know, the idea of why we use the high voltage is to allow to sit comfortably a little further away to through the air conduct the voltage, and by the time it gets to our bodies, it's not nearly as high voltage, so you don't really have to worry about actually sparking over or anything else like that. And, conversely, also, like if I was sitting near the biocharger and somebody else came up close to me, they would also, and they touch me, they may also feel slight shock in between them. And that's also as a result of, those difference of potential between the two sources.
Okay. Got it. So just very similar to if you were to rub your feet on carpet and then go touch someone, you're just getting electrical discharge. Now it makes sounds. It makes a lot of sound. Like it'll go from low pitch to high pitch, back down. I've noticed that different recipes, I know you call them in terms of, whether you're choosing a recipe for headaches or a recipe for Lyme or a recipe for digestion or anything else, the sound frequency seem to change quite a bit. What's actually producing the sound frequencies as these sounds change from low pitch to high pitch and back down as you use it?
Yeah, so there's a specific function behind why we have those different tones or pitches. So as I was mentioned earlier in music, when you have two different notes, you generate harmonies or harmonics. And if I vary one of the notes, I generate different sets of harmonies or harmonics. And that's the principle behind what Royal Rife was doing. So as you change these pulse frequencies, you hear those different tones changing, but from a scientific perspective, we're generating unique sets of harmonics and frequencies. So as you hear those different tones changing, just know that we're also generating literally hundreds of thousands of different harmonics, and they're constantly changing every second. So depending on how we create our programs or recipes, determine on how we space those out, or do we just slightly change it by a thousandth of a hertz, or do we increase it by hundreds of hertz each time, helps to drive on the type of harmonics and frequencies we want to generate.
And who is creating these recipes? That's what I'm curious about, because when I scroll through, there's over 800 different options, and I've got about 20 core ones that I tend to use. But, in terms of deciding which frequencies are going to target which cellular functions, or which frequencies might target a specific virus or bacteria, or elicit some kind of an effect like energy or relaxation, for example, as you're programming the frequencies into this biocharger, and I actually have mine plugged in via an Ethernet cable, so every time you guys add a new recipe, it'll just automatically kind of upload there if I click the little fetch button on it. But where's the actual research? You guys just coming up with theoretically which cells would respond to which frequencies, or are you relying upon some kind of a research body to determine how frequencies are going to affect the body in a certain way?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have many sources for how we create our recipes. So each recipe has four characteristics. They have frequency, duty cycle, output, and duration. And there are many sources, beginning in the, like I mentioned earlier with Royal Rife, he began to document some of these frequency lists, and there are open source frequency lists that he's created, as well as physicists has started outlining, the atomic spectrum, the molecular spectrum, the magnetic resonance spectrum. We also have sources like scholarly Google, where there's, you know, universities all around the world that are investigating all four of these types of energies. So as we scour some of these research documents, and we're finding, you know, research that points the way that certain frequencies or magnetic fields or voltages or light creates a specific effect, we could create recipes based off of that. We also have sources like the Frequency Foundation list. So there is a group of people, researchers, that are investigating different frequencies and publish those particular frequencies. We draw on like sound research or brainwave research. So, you know, you hear about the binaural beats and the brainwaves and circadian rhythms and the solfeggio frequencies. So that's driven from more of an esoteric perspective. So the solfeggio frequencies were based off of the early religious music that was developed. And, you know, solfeggio or the Gregorian chants and things like that. So we have many different sources that we draw on, as well as, you know, we have many, many practitioners that are using the biocharger, and they have years and years of experience working with other frequency devices as well as their own. And they've also helped to create some of these recipes that we've created. And then what we always do is we vet all that information. We create the recipes. We make sure it's working within the parameters we need to work in. And then make that available, like you say, to the general public, or we could customize the recipes and make it for you specifically. So, you know, we've done it all different ways with that. And the beauty is the platform. The platform allows us to be creative on how we find our different recipes and programs that we use.
Interesting. Have you found that people tend to combine recipes with other, I guess, biohacks or supplements or foods? Like, have you, in your discussions with people who have begun using this, seen, found people stacking multiple modalities when they're using the biocharger? And what I mean by that is, you know, for example, just yesterday I used a topical transdermal peptide that's supposed to be really, really good for mental function. It's called Dihexa. And I smeared that on either side of my carotid artery, which is technically where you're supposed to put it. But then my reasoning was, well, I want to engage in some amount of vasodilation afterwards. So I went down and ran the nitro program on the biocharger, which is kind of like a nitric oxide releasing type of frequency, and then paired that with something like a topical nootropic. That's one example of the type of thing I'm thinking of. But have you guys come across, and all the folks you've been talking to, certain things that seem to pair really well with this biocharger?
I could touch on some of that, Ben. So we work with several biohacking centers. And what we found is typically the biocharger as an augmentative therapy complements, whether it's something like cryo, the chambers, hyperbaric chambers. If you're doing a breathing technique, Wim Hof breathing, or you're meditating, it tends to enhance that other therapy or that other practice. If you look at OsteoStrong, one of our clients, the fastest growing biohacking center worldwide, they have 100 locations, U.S. are growing internationally, and the biochargers become a standard issue and one of their top therapies. But, you know, they're all about showing how to increase bone density. Mm-hmm. And they have some very cool biohacking techniques that do that. But the biocharger, as a complement to that, has shown even better results. And then when you go into kind of uptake of nutrients, and think about it at the cellular level, you know, the importance of nutrient absorption. Jim can touch a little bit more on it, but high voltage enhances the as a drug delivery system or as a nutrient delivery system.
Okay, got it. Yeah, it's very interesting. When you say something like hyperbaric therapy, you know, I actually have a hyperbaric chamber, and could I theoretically put the biocharger on, have that biocharger running outside the chamber, go into the chamber, and still be getting some of the effects of that biocharger while I'm inside the chamber?
I would recommend that one just because of the oxygen part of it. You know, there's always those issues with sparks and things like that. But do it, like you say, as a stack in a series, not a problem at all. I think people, I know many people that do both, that, you know, they have their series of biohacking ideas that they'd like to do, and they'll stack that. But that one, I'm always a little nervous with, just because of the pure oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with the home models at a slightly lower pressure, typically you don't have to worry about things like spontaneous combustion or, you know, sparks flying or anything like that. But I was just curious, just because I happen to have a hyperbaric chamber next to the biocharger. Now, what about pets or kids? Is this safe for kids or pets to use, or the people that should not be using a device like this?
We have kind of the standard fare of contraindication. So if you have a pacemaker or some type of electrical implant, we don't advise using it within a 6-foot radius. But as far as kids, if you, you know, with adult supervision, no problem. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The biocharger in a family setting has proven to be one of the few. It's kind of like sitting around the campfire. We have several clients who said, you know, we can't get our kids to sit down with us at the dinner table. And if they do, they're on their phones or they don't want to talk. But we have the most wonderful experiences biocharging together.
Yeah, and that's funny. My kids go down there and read. You know, they're homeschooled, so they go down there and they'll do their work next to it and just flip a recipe on. And I like it because I know they're getting four different forms of therapy the whole time they're sitting down there reading a book.
Yeah, no, that's great. And then as far as animals, they love it. And so, you know, you've heard this 100 times. You can't use placebo with the animals. I have two older dogs, a golden that's 12 and a golden doodle or labradoodle that's 14. They biocharge with me and have been for the past 4.5 years. They're the most energetic 12 and 14 year old dogs you'll see. Hmm. And what's great, they don't get sick. You know, they're drawn to it. And what's even more interesting is we live in a wooded setting, and animals actually come into the yard when the biocharger's running. And my dogs, who are normally on top of it, would know if anything set foot near the house, but they just kind of are zoned out and you know, no telling what might show up at the window.
Yeah, and speaking of gathering around and using it, one thing it does seem to really interact with is phones and computers, which I like. Like, it seems like you can't use the touchscreen on a phone, and the computers kind of act funny if you got a computer in there. Why is that? What's it doing to phones and computers that make them act kind of funny when they're, you know, in close proximity to the biocharger?
Well, the main thing is it's your touch capacitor on your screen. So your screen works by you touching on it, and your there's a voltage change that's going on to the screen that, you know, finds where your finger is. Okay. But what happens with the biocharger is it's acting like you're touching the screen all the time. So if you actually had your phone off and in your pocket, not a problem. But if you actually leave it on, not that you're using it, but at least the screen is enabled where you can do the touchscreen part, then it's not going to be a problem. But we've had people use the biocharger. 15 minutes later, they get a phone call from a friend frantically saying, "What's going on? You just called me 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was just curious. I typically require, if anyone's going to go in this special room I have downstairs, it's got the sauna in it and the hyperbaric and the biocharger. You know, it's again my special place. I don't let anybody in there with their phones on unless they're in airplane mode, and typically frown upon computer use in there anyways. So that's just fine with me. I like paper books and magazines in that room. It's just my safe little sanctuary. So how about the little arc rod that sticks out the top of this thing? You sent that to me after I'd already installed the biocharger in my basement, and it screws onto the top, and it's got a little cylindrical container that goes on top of that. What's that doing? And I also noticed if I take that off after I run the biocharger session, it smells a little bit like ozone. So what exactly is going on there?
So the arc rod, the function of that, I mean, we look at it as a couple different things. One is that it's that wow factor. So when you look at it, it's, you know, Gronk is a big fan of it, and that's what he calls it. It's the wow factor. You know, there's also a safety part of it. But as you noted, also there's generating some negative ions with it. But when you look at it from a spectral frequency perspective, with or without the arc rod, you're generating virtually the same harmonics and frequencies. you're generating the same amount of voltage, you're generating the same spectrum and light. The only really big difference is it would be the a slight bit of ozone, and that's what you'd notice inside that container.
Okay. All right. So having that thing on top of it is actually allowing for a better concentration of some of these frequencies.
Well, with the arc rod, it's not so much the concentration. Normally what happens if you don't have the arc rod on, the voltage is stored on the toroid itself. That's a big aluminum dode at the very top below it. When you put the arc rod on, it allows some of that voltage to leak up, and that's what you're seeing it as in corona discharge. So,
okay, you know, from
a technical point of view, they're virtually the same, whether it's your harmonics, your frequencies, your voltage, your light, they're all the same. The only slight difference would be is a little bit of ozone that you're getting from it.
Got it. Now, in terms of these recipes, you know, I've alluded to a few that I really like the clear head for the morning. It's like a cup of coffee for my brain, or when my wife gets a headache, it destroys it within like 30 to 60 seconds. I like the nitro pre-workout, or a lot of times if I'm using a supplement or a nootropic, I'll run that one. I love just the peace of mind of the whole, you know, viral and immune system ones. And, you know, again, I have to be careful with my conversations around that. But I mean, you know, that I know that Mr. Royal Raymond Rife, who originally designed a lot of these, you know, these wave generating devices, had found that they could have some effect on things like bacterial cell walls, or even, you know, he caught a lot of flack for this, but many of his machines were used as alternative cancer treatments. And, you know, I think that's a whole discussion for another day, the controversy behind that. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of different, cellular functions and a lot of different, biological systems that can be affected by these frequencies, especially when you combine them with things like the light and the PEMF. Now, what have you guys found to be some of the more popular recipes? Because I know, you know, at a Tony Robbins event, I know Tony Robbins is a huge fan of these things. You'll get thousands of people using, you know, a biocharger over the course of a weekend. And, you know, I'm sure you've gotten some amount of feedback over which recipes people really feel or really dig.
Sure. To use the example of a Tony Robbins event, which, you know, as you know, can go on 4 or 5 days, you're in it 18 hours a day. And Tony's such a fan. He wanted to allow his participants to benefit from the biocharger. And so now we set up these biocharger lounges at some of his premier events. And we had 8 or 10 biochargers and people just coming in all day long. But the things that they're running there are, we have one called Ultimate Adrenal. So obviously, you know, our adrenals are overused now. We break a fingernail, it kicks in our fight and flight mechanism. So that's a very popular one. One called Get the Edge. So when people start to dip a little bit with clarity, and, you know, brain fog, that kind of puts you right back into state. We have one called Pineal Mastery that activates the pineal gland that gives you that kind of third eye and different perspective. That is a great one to do if you're sitting down for a brainstorming session, or as Keith Cunningham calls it, thinking time. Just awesome to just kind of get you to the next level for sleep, theta wave. And so people at the events, you know, they may only get 4 hours of sleep total per night. They'll come and biocharge. Folks that know us, they'll come and biocharge just before they leave. This might be 1 or 2 in the morning, and their head will hit the pillow, and they are in the deepest stage of sleep, and they wake up refreshed.
Which one's that called?
That's called Theta Wave.
Interesting. Okay, and then this one called Happy Days. I actually really like that. It puts me in an amazing mood. If I run that thing in the afternoon, I'm like a real treat to be around it by dinner time. Not that I'm not normally, but I'm even better with that Happy Days one. What's that? Is that more like an alpha brainwave, or what's that one doing?
That one was created by our head chef that we call him David DeFebo. He's a naturopath, and he's been with us since the beginning. And he's really talented when it comes to creating special recipes, and that's just one of the ones that he pulled out of the quiver that we created early on, and that's been a favorite for many people.
Okay.
A little bit of background on that, because that's a really good point and an example, is that when we first started, we were, you know, we did some case studies and we tested athletes, the, you know, old, new, old, young, current athletes, injured athletes. And one of the things that we weren't looking for that emerged in the study was that they felt happier, that many of them, due to concussions or injuries, had difficulty sleeping. They had, difficulty focusing, depression in some cases, anxiety. And David had created this Happy Days, trying to be an anti-anxiety, anti-depression type recipe. And that has become one of the number one downloads worldwide. And you know, we see people use it all the time for to kind of get them in a better, happier state.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty slick. Again, I got an Ethernet cable. I have it plugged into the back, so I don't even need to have Wi-Fi turned on. Anytime you guys have a recipe or I ask you for a new recipe from the, I guess you've got like 800-plus recipes. I don't want them all in my biocharger just because I don't want to have to scroll through them all. But I've got about like 30 of my favorite ones on there, and when I hear you guys talking about a new one, or, you know, like the other day you emailed me about the pineal gland one, and I just go press a little fetch button, and voila, it's there within a few minutes. So it's actually... it's pretty slick. I like the idea of this whole concept of having your own collection of recipes. And I know you can have different users on the device. Like I can have my own collection of recipes and Jessica can have hers. And so I think it's really cool. I like the way that you've done that. Now, a few other questions that I have. Could I theoretically be overusing this? Like if I'm using it two or three times a day right now, is that too much?
If it's after the first couple weeks of use, Ben, you listen to your body and you can use it as you feel, compelled to. 2 to 3 times a day is not out of range by any means. I'm kind of a 3-time-a-day guy as long as I'm not traveling or as long as I have access to a biocharger. What can happen early on is because, you know, we're very effective at detoxification is you can have a kind of a healing crisis if you use it too much before your body has a chance to adjust to it. So
gotcha.
What we'll normally say is, you know, if you were coming in, you had an issue, let's say you had some back pain and you tried everything else. Well, we might, you know, and we have recipes in support of recovery from back pain. So you might come in and run that on a, you know, 3 times a week. And we'll say 3 to 4 times a week for 2 weeks. And 90% of the time in the first week, people are saying, okay, now, yeah, this is definitely doing something. And they haven't put their bodies through a healing crisis. Once they've gone through the first couple weeks, you know, have at it.
Okay.
We're at those events and we're doing it for 12 hours straight. And we sleep like babies. We never get sick, and we have more energy and clarity than a lot of people, especially by day 5 and 6.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. On a day where you have low sleep, you go and run one of the more energetic sessions, and you're good to go again without having to tweak your neurotransmitters by drinking an extra cup of coffee. So not that I want this thing to sound like one huge, you know, commercial for not sleeping, but at the same time, like it's pretty impressive to have this in my back pocket where I can just slip downstairs. I wish you guys would have like a portable fold up version I could have in my hotel room for when I travel. But ultimately it's very, very, very cool to have this in my basement. Now, the thing that I know a lot of people are probably going to balk at is the fact that I think the price of this is like $14,000-$15,000, something like that, right? To actually just buy a biocharger outright.
Yes, $14,990.
Okay, got it. Now, I know you guys are offering my listeners a $500 discount on that, but I think more importantly, you do have options for financing, don't you?
Absolutely. So we work with two different companies, one for commercial financing, and even if you have a sole proprietorship and, you know, a one-man band, we're able to generally work something out through that financing partner. They have programs that require no down payment, no payments for 90 days, and there's no prepayment penalty. So especially for a business and with these times, as we're coming back into business and into real life again, or whatever the new version of real life is, it's great to know that you could have a tool like this and be in positive cash flow before you have to write your first payment.
Okay, got it. So couple hundred, 250 around that per month, somebody could be able to get their hands on this thing and have it in their house or in their training facility, you know, physical therapy clinic, anything like that.
Absolutely. And then we have for consumers, we offer financing through Bread. So if you go to our shop page, Modal will pop up and you can apply instantly for Bread financing, which doesn't quite cover all of the price. You still have to put a down payment down, but it's a pretty good setup.
Okay, cool. And I know you guys also have a special VIP package you're putting together for my listeners, all the folks who like to own nice things, where you get the 800 plus different recipes, you get the biocharger, you get a personal consultation with you guys, you get a training session with you guys, and then any software updates you ever need, those just automatically happen. I think you guys are giving like a $4,000 discount on that. And that's also all, I'll just put all the information for all this over in the show notes. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/biocharge. And by the way, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you. It's from what I understand, there's like a built-in speaker on it, and you guys are going to start allowing for the production of music or the overlaying of music on top of these frequencies. Is that correct?
Yes. So one of the things that we've done and making the biocharge our platform versus the product, and by building out the cloud infrastructure, it gives us the ability to continue to enhance it, as you pointed out, so all the software updates. And more importantly, and believe it or not, we're now over 1,000 recipes. So that whole idea of it wasn't just the ability to technologically be able to provide people a dynamic database of multiple recipes, but it's more of the community-inspired recipes that researchers and practitioners that are using the biocharger platform are able to work together on. So that's more than a dream come true for us. So one of the things that we provided up front when we developed the biocharger is some additional hardware that gave us future capabilities. And part of that was audio modulation hardware. Another part of it is there's an optical port on the back of the biocharger. So we are very close to releasing an audio modulation feature that allows you to stream music, voice, sound through the arc rod. So you're actually hearing sound play through the biocharger. You know, we also support sound therapies today, but this takes it to a whole new level. And every client will be getting that.
Oh, that's cool. I can't wait because I love music and I can see it pairing really, really well with this. So that's very cool. So obviously this thing is one of the more advanced or spendy tools that I've talked about, but oh my gosh, I mean, it's been a game changer for me. And you know, I've got all sorts of crazy devices littered around my house, but I'm not joking, you guys. I've literally been using this thing like three times a day. So it's something I really appreciate. And I want to thank you guys for coming on the show and explaining this to everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to put everything at bengreenfieldfitness.com/biocharge. If anybody wants to jump in, check out more about this thing, check out the research, and also look into getting one of these for yourself. It was super easy to set up. Again, super easy to update. Really cool feature to be able to put together your own recipes. And both gyms have been very, very helpful to me anytime I reach out for support on this thing. So highly recommend the biocharger. I was skeptical at first, but this thing just works. So bengreenfieldfitness.com/biocharge if you want to check it out. And until next time, I'm Ben, along with the Double Gyms from Biocharger, signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have an amazing week. Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single
week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.